The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Children ages 3 through 10 are invited to join Miss Katie for story time and songs, and they'll return at the piece.
Please be seated. For much of my life, I've always wanted to go deep sea fishing. There was something irrepressibly romantic about it. Born and raised in Arkansas, the deepest sea for us had been 60 feet to the bottom of Beaver Lake. No, I long for that great and terrible ocean. Beyond the horizon of land, fathoms of water outstretched in every direction, creatures unknown circling the deep. I'm not sure I'd ever really caught a fish, to be honest. But out there in the sea, I don't know, what would we catch? Tuna, swordfish, marlin, days of sushi pulled by our own hands from the ocean. For the promise of an adventure like that, I might blow through any number of red flags. Ignore any number of cautionary signs. And so, just a few summers ago, visiting friends who live in Pensacola Beach, when the opportunity came, I leapt. Oh, and there were plenty of cautionary signs. After looking at the forecast, many of the experienced hands in the house took a pass on sea travel that day. After loading the boat with all the supplies we'd need for a whole day's trip, the captain arrived, and literally the first thing he said was, and he said it quite unceremoniously, I'm not going to lie to you, the sea is going to be rough today. We didn't get past Fort Pickens before I knew there was going to be real trouble. Oh, and by the way, something you need to know about myself for this story is I've got a real problem with motion sickness. Terribly sensitive to it. At that point, just beyond the bay, land still very much in sight, I started to wonder what options I had to abandon ship. At that point, I realized that the ship was both my liberator and my captor. I realized that there was no break in a case of emergency options. I don't know, in almost other times of my life, if I got myself into a bad spot, freedom was just one brave Uber call away. If worse came to worse, walking home was a rock-bottom, fail-safe option. But not here. Not in the deep ocean, not in rough waters. My fate was tied to the direction of that boat. I tried to put on a brave face, and the crew took genuine pity on me. They tried every home remedy they knew, but eventually they relented and took the long journey back, dropping me off at the nearest shoreline. I plopped into the water, stumbled onto that beautiful but still strangely surging beach, and laid there on the pure white sand, not moving for nearly 3 hours. Hallelujah! Christ is risen! Christ is risen indeed! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Christ is risen! Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We renew our vows to be a people of resurrection. For Jesus and the church that followed him, the images of the sea and baptism and resurrection are interwoven. The Gospels are full of stories of Jesus at sea with the disciples. Jesus resurrects Peter from the sea when he begins to sink in doubt. In Romans, Paul tells us that in the waters of baptism, we are crucified with Jesus and raised to new life. After the resurrection, Jesus speaks the same words to the disciples that he does when he calms the waters of the sea. Peace, be still. Do not be afraid. So interlinked are these concepts that this section of the church, which we call the nave in Latin, simply means boat, the roof resembling an upside-down ship's hull. In your bulletin, there is a prayer card. We printed about one in every three bulletins. If you don't have one in your row or can't find one, the ushers have several extra in the back. On it, the front, Rembrandt captures one of the most memorable stories of the disciples at sea. In this scene, Jesus, near the very back of the boat, has just woken up. Two of the disciples plead with them to act. Five in the front fight furiously to fix the shredded sail and regain control. One disciple prays. One is resigned. One's puking over the rail. One's paralyzed in fear. And one at the rudder, struggling with all his might. Forming out of the mast and top yard, itself askew but subtly centered in the painting, is the cross itself, leaping upward at the crash and swell of the wave. Y'all, this is our church. This is your family. This is our country right now. Jesus seemingly asleep in the stern, the disciples scattered in every direction, praying that the institution itself won't capsize. The raw power of the stormy sea, the world in microcosm, interested in status and wealth and self-preservation, calm and steady one moment, whipping and violent and churning chaos as a terrible destructive force the next. Why does Jesus have the disciples out there? You might imagine that knowing the sea to be so untrustworthy, Jesus might simply have encouraged them to avoid it altogether, to retreat, to build a protective fortress that insulates them, us, from the perils of the world. But there is another side to baptism. Flip the card over. Baptism is rebirth into our life with God, yes, a claiming of us, that we are forever loved, that we are marked as Christ's own forever. But baptism is also a commitment, a moral posture. Our covenant is riddled with moral language. After Jesus' own baptism, he rampages through the country on a crusade of mercy, resurrecting the sick, those cast out, the alien and stranger. Jesus makes it very clear that God will not be tricked. God will not be mocked. God calls us to be a people of justice, of truth, of plain speaking, and nothing and no one is exempt. Not the great houses of worship, not even the court of Herod, no amount of propaganda, no amount of fancy religious posturing will overcome Jesus' simple and plain and revolutionary demand that we respect the dignity of every human being. That we be willing to lay down our lives for one another. To risk everything for just that one sheep who is lost. Anything else? Look right there in the covenant, second line from the top. Anything else? We're called to resist it. To resist evil. The sly and amorphous suggestion that always presented as a limited technicality, that actually in this case, that absolute commitment to love and be generous and merciful towards all people simply can't be done. Resist. Resist it. That's what we've come together here this morning to do. As I heard Adeline Tyler Williams say a few days ago, joy itself is resistance. Lift your voices and sing. Hold tight to the ones you love this Easter morning. Be resurrected into the kingdom of God. We can't leave the sea, y'all. Jesus calls us to be fishers, fishers of people, to be out in the open water without fear. Our hearts and our bodies ready to act for what may come. We will be ready. Look once more at our painting. Where are the eyes of Jesus? with the chaos swirling around him, where does he affix his gaze? It's on the horizon, the break of dawn. This is not a painting of evil overcoming good. This is a picture filled with light. Light breaking in, bounding through the sky, overcoming the darkness. Jesus directs us forward. The tomb is empty. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.